A central figure of every second Sunday of Advent is St. John the Baptist. That's why we have this image of him up here. He's known as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, that is, the one who immediately precedes the coming of Jesus. And St. John the Baptist is often portrayed as this eccentric figure, you know, a little mysterious. And God has chosen him to be the last prophet, the great herald of Jesus' imminent coming. So imagine if you were there in the year 29 or 30 AD when he came into the scene, and you hear this man dressed in camel hair and with a regular diet of these yummy locusts and wild honey crying out this message of repentance. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. In other words, the Messiah is coming. Prepare for his coming into your life. Will you prepare a straight path for him, of Jesus into your heart? Or will he have to zigzag around in an obstacle course and then climb Mount Everest in order to get to your heart? And so St. John the Baptist is helping people prepare for Jesus by baptizing folks for the forgiveness of their sins to mark their repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, right? Meta meaning beyond, nous is mind, so going beyond one's mind. The term back then was used to indicate a fundamental change in thinking. So St. John wanted folks to go beyond the limitations of one's own mind, beyond this me-centered attitude of I'm the center of the world, to turn away from our former ways and be open to the tsunami of what was to come, right? Or rather, who was about to come. And every second Sunday of Advent, we can hear this cry of St. John the Baptist anew. Anew because it depends on where, this call of conversion depends on where we are in our relationship with God this past year, this past 2018, depending on what needs metanoia, what needs conversion in our lives. The world with all its distractions and temptations can take its toll on us. So are we heeding St. John the Baptist's call in our life? Are we repenting or turning away from the way of the world and preparing for the way of the Lord? Have we, for example, made a thorough examination of conscience over this past year and gone to the sacrament of reconciliation since a lot of us haven't gone since Lent, right? Or even longer, maybe it's years. There are a number of those penance services coming up this week, by the way. Tomorrow is at St. Rita in Clark Lake, tomorrow evening. Then Tuesday evening is at Queens. And then Saturday morning is at St. Mary's Star of the Sea at 10 a.m. And then we are taking up the rear with the last one on Tuesday, December 18 at 7 p.m. But confession is only the first step, right? Because notice repentance involves two dimensions, two movements. First, it's a turning away from the world and its temptations. But then, to fill that, the second part then is this turning toward the way of the Lord, focusing our attention on Jesus and our relationship with him. This is part of that Advent spirit of vigilance, of keeping vigil for that expectant longing for the Lord. For any relationship to develop in our lives, we have to spend time with that person. So that first part, turning away from the ways of the world, involves on a practical level cutting down on things that gobble up our time, the time that keeps us from spending time with God. For many these days, that's screen time. Cutting down on the number of hours in a week we spend before a TV or a computer screen or a phone. How much time would that open up in your own life if you did that? For some of you, that might mean hours of free time each week. Are you using that time to prepare the way of the Lord through prayer, through adoration, through spiritual reading, such as reading that Matthew Kelly book that we're reading as a parish, The Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic? By the way, because we are already in the midst of reading that, I won't be getting another book for you as my Christmas present this year. Instead, what I got for y'all is the new Ignatius Pew missals that are in the hymnals, the hymnal racks in front of you. Dominic Chris did some research and suggested this one to expand our musical repertoire. And so an early Merry Christmas to you. But anyway, if you haven't fully read any of the books from prior Christmases, perhaps use one of them for your spiritual reading from all the time saved from less screen time. As you know, we've begun the year of prayer, and it goes until next year's Feast of Christ the King, November 24. Now, you've heard Father Brian and I encourage everyone to have a regular prayer life, a daily prayer life, right? But I know some of you shy away from that simply because you don't know where to begin. You know, pray, pray, pray. Our priests are always telling us to pray. I don't even know how, right? Nobody's ever taught me. Perhaps you're like that disciple in Luke 11 who said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Right? Teach us how to pray because we don't know how. We don't know how to communicate to God the Father. Yeah, we've been taught these rote prayers, but not this deep relational prayer that we see you doing. Right? So we want to change that. In this first month of Advent, first month of the year of prayer, we want to help everyone learn how to pray more deeply. At the Diocesan Assembly follow-up meeting we had on November 29, we had three different workshops going on that people could choose from, which gave an introduction to three different methods of praying. Crystal Gruber gave one on vocal prayer, Joseph Gruber gave one on meditative prayer, and Todd Gale gave one on contemplative prayer. And then we finished up with a time of adoration here, where I taught folks a very simple way of prayer that you can do with any style of prayer you employ. It's the easiest explanation of how to pray that I know, and it's what I want to summarize for you now. The acronym for this method of prayer is ARRR. So 1A, 3 R's. We sometimes call it the pirate's prayer, because when you pronounce the acronym, you sound like a pirate. R, matey. Right? And R is not so much a method of prayer as much as it is simply describing what happens when we communicate with anybody. Each letter stands for something that we do with anyone with whom we want to communicate. So what does each letter stand for? A stands for acknowledge. What's the first thing that we do in communication? We acknowledge the presence of the person that's before us. If we don't acknowledge their presence, then it'll be hard for us to focus or have a meaningful exchange with that person and fully understand where one another is coming from. It's the same with God. We have to first acknowledge the presence of God within you, around you, and if you're in a Catholic church, the presence of God before you in the tabernacle or in adoration or at Mass. When you take time to silence yourself in prayer, you gradually become aware of God's presence. And then you also want to acknowledge how you are in life, an awareness of yourself. What's going on in your life? What's stirring in your heart? What's consuming your attention? Then that naturally leads to the first R. R stands for relate, right? Now that you've recognized what's been on your heart and your mind, relate that to God. Be real with the Lord. Relate to him your worries, your anxieties. Relate what you're having trouble coping with and what's driving you crazy right now. But if it's a happy time, relate to him your joy, your gratitude for these good things, to delight in them. You know, in these personal and intimate times with Jesus, don't worry about formalities. Simply be honest and open in relating to him your life. So the first two steps are A for acknowledge and R for relate. Really simple, right? We can, you know, dear Lord, I know that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me, that you embrace me, and I adore you with profound reverence. Lord, what's really been on my mind and my heart right now is our loss of Andy. We're reminded of it each and every day. We really miss him. And that man yesterday, too, at the hospital that I saw die right before me, their family's been on my mind, consuming my thoughts. So, Lord, bring your peace to him and to his family. Right? So that's a very simple example, brief example of the first two steps. Acknowledge and relate. Then what do we do in any communication with others after we relate something? We go to the next R. We receive what that person has to say. Sometimes with God, we can leave this part out, but that's like relating to a person and then immediately leaving the conversation without receiving what that person has to say. It's like going up to a house on Halloween and saying trick or treat, but never opening your bag and immediately leaving. Imagine if I didn't take the time to receive what God had for me after I related to him the things of my heart. If I didn't allow him to embrace me with his peace and his consolation, with his assurance that death, that he has conquered death. Sometimes we pray without expecting God to respond. And so no wonder, you know, we don't find prayer meaningful and that we're still anxious and confused about how to go on with life because we never stuck around long enough for God to actually minister to us. You know, we give up too easily. Remember, Jesus, during the agony in the garden, had to go back 3 times before receiving his answer from the Father that this crazy thing about going to the cross was really the thing to do. So this is where it's a little bit different with God, who speaks what? In the silence of our heart. Which is why it's important to pick a place of prayer that is quiet. The Holy Spirit speaks through the movements of our heart and mind. And this is where the discernment of spirits come in. See, God the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit that wants to speak to you. There's also our own voice, the voice of our loved ones in our lives that can come to mind. Some good advice, some not so good advice. The voice of teachers that echo in our minds, the voice of things we've heard in TV and radio. Some of it good, some of it trash. And frankly, Pope Francis has really emphasized, the voice of the evil one also wants to get to you. Satan and the father of lies. So the accuser is real and he wants to bring your soul down. So it's supremely important to know how to differentiate these various voices that speak into our lives, lest we attribute our own voice or the voice of others to God, whether their message is for good or for ill. You know, our director of faith formation, Todd Gale, taught a multi-week course for us on Sunday nights after 5 p.m. last year specifically on the discernment of spirits. So much can be said about this art of discerning God's voice from all others, so for now, we'll leave it at that. The other major thing that this receiving from God does is order our loves. Order our loves. With how busy we can get, there's so many things on our plate, many of them good things, but even though they're good, because there's so many, we can be overwhelmed. And what often gets left out is God. But if we allow God to order our loves, to let him tell us, you know, this priority right here is more important than this priority, so let that other one go and let it go in peace, right? Then we can go about our day with greater clarity, with greater confidence, with greater peace. This is why I think Mother Teresa was that said, you know, something to the effect that, you know, I'm so busy today, I really need to pray. How can I not pray? I'm so busy. And that's why she begins at like 4:30, 5:30 in the morning with a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament and Mass after that. If we don't allow God to order our lives, to order our loves, our days can vanish like that without having really spent any time on the very reason why we're here on earth. Right? For example, yesterday in prayer, God ordered my loves. We had Mass for the Immaculate Conception, confessions after that, a visit to someone who was ill after that, confessions at 3 p.m., then the Mass of Anticipation at 4:15 p.m. Somewhere in there, I had to work on composing this homily. But there was also the Michigan basketball game at noon. And they're off to a hot start. I mean, they're 10-0. Now, if it was up to the old Chaz, I would have been watching that game at noon. And you would have had a mediocre homily that I didn't really pray thoroughly about before the Lord. But because God had something to say about this in prayer, I didn't see a minute of that game. Well, South Carolina anyway, so. If God doesn't order our loves, much of our life can be spent on things that ultimately are meaningless in the grand scheme of things. The final R is respond, all right? So as we experience God's love, his peace, his gentle guidance, we begin to heal and our hearts become renewed with vigor, with God's wisdom and understanding, with His Holy Spirit animating our lives. So this final stage of responding is simply praising and thanking Him for this moment of clarity and direction in moving forward with life, with purpose and joy. And whatever inspiration we receive, our response can take the form of a resolution. So part of this R of responding can also be the R of resolving. I resolve this day to live in the peace that You have for me, You've given me right now. I resolve this day to live out the order of loves that You've given me. Right? So there you are. Get it? There you are. What's R? A-R-R-R? A is for? Acknowledge. R is to? The next R is to? And the final R is? Yes, you were listening. Very good. So I want to invite you to practice that this very Friday, at Friday night at our annual O Come Let Us Adore Him during Advent. It's a great time of wonderful music, powerful music, a beautiful procession around with the Blessed Sacrament, and a time of quiet when this place will be dark except for candlelight. Just spending that time. Talk about a perfect observance of Advent, that longing, that expectant waiting, keeping vigil with the Lord.